want to just give a brief introduction of our speaker today for those of you who are new to Oak Park. Tom Meyer is a missionary that we support, and Tom is known for his ability to present the Word of God from memory. And you're going to hear that and have the privilege of hearing that in just a few moments. But I want to give you just a little bit of a backstory to Tom. He had a pastor who challenged him to memorize some scripture, and he'd never really done that before. As a boy, he really enjoyed sports, as most young men do, and so he had memorized statistics of favorite players and that sort of thing, and so he started memorizing scripture, and he's never really stopped doing that. He has memorized massive portions of scripture. In the years that he's come to our church, he has shared with us from the heart, Jonah, all the book of Revelation, 2 Peter, Genesis 1 through 11, that's before you quit doing chapter 10, James, Isaiah 53, 1 John, and then I'll let you tell what he's going to do today. But we are so grateful to have Tom be a part of our missionary family. And one of the things, and I mention this almost every time I introduce him, that I appreciate most about Tom is his absolute commitment to the inerrancy, the sufficiency, the accuracy of the Word of God. And it comes out as he presents God's Word. He's not sitting in question of God's Word. He believes it is the Word of God from heaven that we need for our daily lives. And you can tell that. So, Tom, Lord bless you as you come.
I'm not going to quote the Song of Solomon. I only did that once in public. It was a Golden Angers 65 and up banquet. And there was no eye contact after chapter one. And I was like, why did you have me come here and do this? And I didn't even get into it. I was just like, "That." Anyways, Paul, an apostle of Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, under the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, and that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him which filleth all in all. in you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, which are contained in ordinances, and to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And he came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them which are nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God given unto me, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, which I wrote before in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, and is now revealed unto holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his Spirit unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, was this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access and confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, and that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of your vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us has been given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, and that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined and compacted together by that which every joint supplieth worketh unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry, but sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may give to him that needeth it. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, nor idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be you not therefore partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness, now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Be ye therefore not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourself unto your husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands in all things. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word, that he may present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as themselves. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, every one of you in particular, let him love his wife as himself. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment, with promise that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient unto them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing goodwill from the heart, with goodwill doing service to the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And you masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing threatenings, knowing that your master also is in heaven, and neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseveration and supplications unto God. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for the which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that you may know our affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known unto you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you may know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be upon them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. I did not drive 8 hours, 7 hours, round trip with 4 children under 10, not to get an amen. There we go. All right. Speaking of children under 10, Tommy boy, why don't you go to the nursery, little buddy? Thank you. All right. Chapter 6 is where we're going to be today with the time remaining. Chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. In chapter 6, you can see right there in verse number 10 that it says, Finally. Why does he say finally? Well, because number one, in chapter one, we went over the seven elements of our position in Christ, things like being predestinated, things like being sealed, things like being chosen, that kind of stuff. And then, as you heard in chapter 2, we heard of the method of salvation. We heard of the Gentiles' position in Christ after Calvary. Chapter 3, we heard about how the church was a mystery, which has been hidden from ages and generations, but now was revealed to the Apostle Paul. We heard in chapter 4 about the unities that are to be kept. We heard about the purpose of the gifts that God has given to men for the edification of the church. We've heard about how we should walk as a new man in Christ. Then in chapter 5, we talked about the walk of the believer as God's dear child. We heard about submitting ourselves one to another in a spirit-filled life. We heard about the domestic life of man and wife and child and servant. And then finally, in chapter 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, that phraseology, my brethren, that infers that he's writing to the people at the church at Ephesus. When you think of Ephesus, when you read the pages of the Bible, you want to think of it like a San Francisco. We just moved from California. We lived there for 12 years, and we live close enough to San Francisco where you could smell it. And believe me, it's not good. Okay, so seriously, though, when you read Ephesus, Ephesians, etc. in the Bible, just think of San Francisco. It's the economic, political, military, administrative, religious hub of that part of the country, in biblical Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. It's where all the main routes going to the main places went. This city of Ephesus was a rotten city to live in. It was a port city, and you know all about port cities from antiquity. Just watch one of the five Pirates of the Caribbean movies. Those port cities are not good. And this port city right here, this was home to one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, the Temple of Artemis. The Romans called her Diana. We'll keep it G-rated, but it is a nasty, nasty, wicked cult that its epicenter is right in Ephesus. So the church is not like in Twig, Minnesota, population 58. Okay, it's in San Francisco where all the sick people are, and it's in the shadows of this monstrosity of this Roman pagan worship cult epicenter. So, because you live in that kind of world, and we live in that kind of world, what are you supposed to do? Run and cower and go up to Twig, Minnesota, population 58, and live off the land? Maybe, I don't know. But he says, be strong. Where does our strength come from? Well, thanks for asking. If you look back in chapter 1 right there, in chapter 1, he tells us what kind of power we have available to us. It's like having the greatest power tool in the entire world. You know, my wife turned me on to that. Do you know what show that's from? Yes, Home Improvement, exactly. It's like having the greatest power tool in the entire world, but you don't plug it in. That's how most of us think and how most of us practice. You have so much power available at your fingertips, but you don't plug it in. Listen to that. The eyes of your understanding, verse 18, chapter 1, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, and that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints, here it is, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. Here is the power, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That power God used to raise his son from the dead in the resurrection, that's the power that is in you. You just have to tap into it. Hence the power tool. So be strong. You have the capability of shining in the midst of a dark nation. But how do you have to do it? Be strong in what? You see it right there. Those three words, in the Lord. In Ephesians, he uses those three words, in the Lord. He uses it like 40 times. A lot. You have to be strong, plugged into the Lord, and in the power of his might. We forget that he has the power, the riches, the wisdom, the glory, the honor. And he's our God. Go on. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Let's pin up that thought for a second. When I lived in Israel for 4 or 5 years, And whenever you would go to Jerusalem or Hebron or Tel Aviv or any big city, on the corner of First and Main, or they would probably say Ben Yehuda and Yaffa, something like that, you'll see an 18-year-old Israeli soldier on the street corner with a loaded machine gun. It's a dangerous neighborhood to grow up in the Middle East. And just like you see that today, in Paul's day, on that same street corner, you would have seen a Roman soldier. So this idea here of put on the whole armor of God, he's just speaking to these people in language that they understand. They see this every day. They see the cop every day. And so he's using the outfit of the cop, the outfit of the Roman soldier, as an illustration, as a springboard to talk about how we and our kids and our grandkids can not only make it, but overcome and thrive in this crazy, wicked world that we live in. So put on the whole armor of God. He'll spell it out in a minute. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word for wiles there, as you probably can see in your translation, means fiery arrows. The whoosh, 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 whoosh. Should I press the button and watch this pornography? I don't know. No, that's a wily arrow. Should I commit this sin right here when no one's looking? Whoosh, that's a wily arrow. Should I cheat on my taxes right here? Whoosh, that's a wily arrow. Should I do this right here? Whoosh, that's a wily arrow. All day, every day, things are coming at you and your kids and your grandkids from every single corner. Temptation galore. In our house, I just made a new rule. When you enter into our house, there is a basket. And if you're a child, you're putting your phone in that basket when you come in my house. But what if I have to call my mom? Then come to the basket and call your mom. Just the temptations that are available, with all you gotta do is go bing, bong, bing, swipe, and you begin to destroy your soul by what you're looking at. It's true. That's the world we live in. All day, every day. Go on. Who are these arrows coming from? Well, in more detail, verse number 6. For we wrestle not against... or the battle is not against flesh and blood, but against two. Now, all these technical terms right here, principalities, powers, rulers, the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places, these are all technical Jewish terms for the angelic realm. Ultimately, our battle is not against so-and-so. It's against the unseen world, the devil. He may not have made you do it, but there's something to that, because this is who you're fighting against all day, every day. Like, you go to a public school, you went from ooze to the zoo to you by a series of time and chance over billions of years, and there's absolutely, positively nothing special about you. You're just another brick in the wall. That's what you're taught in public school. You're not taught the truth, the opposite, that you are a descendant of Adam and Eve, and God created you in his image and likeness, and he loves you, and he has a wonderful plan for your life. See, the it's day and night. This is rottenness from the pit of hell. This is truth. So this is who the battle, the fight is up against. Go on, how do you make it? Well, we see there in verse number 13, wherefore, or in other words, as you realize the grim power that you and your kids and your grandkids are up against, and it is a grim power. I know that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's in my mother-in-law's kitchen. Right? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's true. But don't forget that he is like a roaring lion walking about searching whom he may devour. And he devoured my brother. My brother's dead at 37. Totally destroyed him. He's dead. That can happen to you or your kids or your grandkids. My brother grew up in church every single Sunday. That was the rule in the house. I don't know if I'm going to do that, but that was the rule. You live under my roof, you're going to church on Sunday. You got to drag him out of the bed with his orange hair and huge gate earrings and tattoos all over his neck. Drag him out of the bed, throw him to church. But he never made it his own. He never made it his own. I can't read minds or hearts, but you could just, you know them by their fruits. When you do things that not even nice atheists do, you've got some serious problems, you know. So this is the grim power we're up against. Wherefore, take unto you, that phraseology right there in verse number 3, take unto you, that is not a suggestion. It's an imperative mood, command. It's like if you're in the army, drop and give me 20. I can't right now, sir. I'm sipping on my Jamba Juice and playing Mario Brothers, you know. It's like, no, you have to drop and give me 20 right now. This is an imperative mood command. What do you have to do to survive and not be like my brother? Take unto you the whole armor of God. We'll get to it in a second. Once again, that you may be able to stand. In the evil day, that phraseology, evil day, means whenever temptation arises. Speaking of temptation, never mind, I'm not going to go there. I'm a guest. And having done all, stand. Now, you heard that phrase, stand, three times. What does that mean? Well, let's give an example. Can you help me? I need your help. Yes. Okay, we're going to come up front. We're going to explain what stand means. Yeah? I will be gentle. Okay. So, the battle belongs to the Lord, okay? And in a human battle, right, there is no competition between me and her. But in a spiritual battle, turn the tables and she could totally defeat me because of the power of God that's in her. So the idea is we're wrestling. Come on. Okay, we're wrestling. We're wrestling. Spiritual battle, we're wrestling, right? Okay. Now, if she takes unto herself the whole armor of God, which we'll get to in a second, she has the ability to overcome darkness and evil of any shape and size. So much so that it says that she stands. So the idea here is that she throws me down. Be gentle. Throw me down. Just push me down. Boom. Okay. That's okay. She pushes me down. Then the idea to stand. Are you ready for this? Unless you go in the church yearbook, right? Okay. Come here. Now, come over here, gentle. Are your shoes clean? Are your shoes clean? Are your shoes clean? Okay, stand on my chest with one foot. There we go. That's what the picture is here, of like a wrestling match, and of her being victorious over her opponent and standing on top of them and taunting them with her foot on the defeated body. That's what the word is getting at. Do you see that? See, that's what you should be doing, and your kids and your grandkids should be doing every day when you're tempted with sin, is overcome it. Throw it down, stand upon it, and taunt it, because of the power that's in you. Sound good? Amen. Thank you, dear.
So take unto the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
What's the first piece that we put on? Well, gird yourselves. Verse number 14. Gird your loins with truth. What does that mean? That's the first piece of armor that a soldier would have put on that people would have noticed every day. And so he's taking that once again as an illustration and applying it to our spiritual lives. 15. What does that mean then? To have your loins girt about with truth. Well, a Roman soldier's outfit looked nothing like ours. They did not have pants like we have pants. Their staple of their garment was like, I don't know how else to put it, like a manly-looking muumuu, okay? Like a manly-looking muumuu, okay? Well, how did it get the term muumuu? But that's a different story. Okay, so I think it was like a tunic you would put your head through and you put your hands through, and then it would go down to your knees or your ankles. Now, you cannot run, jump, kick, fight, kick around in the dirt, and swing, do all those kind of things with a dress on, right? It just doesn't look right, number one. But more importantly, it would trip you up. It's tight. So what they would do is they would take that garment, and they would pull it up to here, to their waist, and then they would get a sash, and they would take that sash and wrap it around their hips and their loins and their waist and their thighs, where it kind of looked like a sumo wrestler belt now, okay? It strengthened their backs, too, and their abdomens, and it got them ready to fight. So just like they would do that first, what he's saying here is you need to strengthen yourself. You need to get yourself girded about with what? The truth of God's word. Having the word of God, basically, it holds everything together. And that's what our time hearing it, in our time reading it, in our time studying it, in our time memorizing it, in our time meditating upon it. That's what it does. It strengthens us and gets us ready for war. Next, in verse number 14, We have the breastplate of righteousness. So this would go on over the head. It was made of a thin armor in the front and in the back. And then, like, you know how in the movies they would tie the girl with a corset in the back? Remember that? Like in Pride and Prejudice? My wife made me watch it once. Okay? They tie it in the back like that. Right? They tie it together on the sides. And so the idea then is the abdomen from the here to here, you're safe. So if an arrow, boom, boom, gets shot at you, ideally it'll just bounce right off. But that's if you're covered in righteousness, you'll be able to reflect and to deflect the arrows that are flying at you all day, every day. But you could have problems. You could have pockets of unrighteousness. I know of people who, and you do too, who have problems, like problems drinking. That's a gigantic problem. It's a huge hole right there in their armor. They love the Lord, but they got problems. And what happens? The arrows flying at them, boom, bounce off, but they're trying to wiggle their way in there, boom, you get 2 DUIs in 1 year. And your life is just not what it once was. Or you love the Lord, but another pocket of unrighteousness is whatever. You're promiscuous. And then what happens? Maybe not the first time, maybe not the second time, but maybe the 10th time. Oops, now I'm pregnant and I'm not married and I'm in school. Uh-oh. You have to remove the problem areas immediately. Fix them and dwell in righteousness. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying that I know you hear it all the time, but it's true that you can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens you. You do not have to submit to this. You do not have to submit to premarital sex. You do not have to submit to fornication. You can overcome those kind of things. But it's through righteousness. And these things will bounce off you. It's true. Go on, verse number 15. Your feet shod with the preparation are covered with the gospel of peace. A Roman soldier's battle sandals had an attachment to them, an attachment that kind of looked like soccer cleats or baseball spikes. So when you were in the field, you could run and jump and kick, and you can dig into the proverbial batter's box, and you could really whack and destroy your enemy. But without that, especially if there's dew on the ground or it's raining and muddy, it's slip, it's slick, and you're not be able to get that firm footing. So the application here is the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, which you believe in, is what grounds you and gives you the ability to stand up to the deepest darkness. It's true. Go on, a couple more, and we're almost done. Verse number 16, above all, or whatever else you do, take the shield of faith. That word for shield in Greek is skutum. It's a 6-foot-high shield, about a little shorter than I am, this far wide, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. So even as believers, we have to consistently look at ourselves in the mirror and saying, what am I having faith? What am I trusting in him to do that only he can do? If you're not asking him to do anything, why would he do it? You have to ask and you shall receive. What manner of man is there among you that if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? What are you asking God to do that only God can do? Above all, everything else, faith. Then you have the helmet of salvation. The most precious member, the unit of the body is the head. You could, in battle, lose a hand, you could lose a foot, and you can still live, but you can't lose the head. So the preciousness of the head is comparable to the preciousness of the doctrine of salvation. We forget about that sometimes, but it's true. 171 people die every second. 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004, 1,005, 1,006, 1,007, 1,008, 1,009, 1,010. Almost 2,000 people just died across the world. Like that. Boom. Dead. Whoosh, slipped into eternity. 99% of them are probably not born again. Why do you say that? Because it says to enter in at the narrow gate, because wide is the gate and broad's the way that leads to destruction, and many, many, many there be that go in that way, because narrow is the gate and hard's the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Few. Another 2,000 people just died. Slipped into eternity. Gone. preciousness of salvation. Finally, then what? Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That word for word here, word of God, you know, sword of the Spirit, which is the word, that word for word in Greek is rhema, which means a thing spoken. So a better translation is, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the spoken word of God. Because in their world 2,000 years ago, nobody had one of these. No one had one of these. We have so many of these today, they're coming out of our ears. We don't know what to do with them. We have so many of these. They're on our phone, they're everywhere. But in their world, they don't have this. So take unto you your what? Everything that he has mentioned will be done in 2 minutes. You guys are doing great. Everything that he has mentioned thus far has been totally defensive. When you walk out into that world, you're on total zone defense or nickel defense, whatever terminology you want to use. Defense. And your only weapon here is the word of God, the spoken word of God. Picture Jesus tempted in the wilderness. What does he do? He doesn't pull out his phone and try and find a verse or run to a synagogue 75 miles away that has no chapter or verse divisions and pull down the scroll. He opens his mouth and he speaks from memory what he hid in his heart as a child. Do you know why? Because he loved God's word. And it was important for him to hide God's word in his heart so he didn't sin against him. So he stored it up in his heart. So when the time came, he can speak it. That's your weapon. Because that is what is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, is the word of the living God. It's true. You can memorize if you want to. You can do it if you want to. Your kids can do it, especially. And your grandkids can especially do it. They're so smart. Look at this. Come here, Hosanna, real quick. We'll be done like I said. Come on, just real fast. It's quick like a bunny. Just do real quick. Like Jonah, really fast. Go. Jonah chapter 1 and go. Go ahead. You can do it. Show them how easy it is. Go. Now the word of the Lord.
Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of the Amittite, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. And Jonah rose to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord.
And he went down to Jaffa.
And he found the ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went on to it, going on to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now the Lord sent a great wind into the sea and a mighty tempest into the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken in the mariners.
Okay, thank you. You're showing me up. Thank you. At home, believe it or not, at home, I'm not an ogre, okay, who's like, you must memorize. I'm the opposite. I'm the liberal in the family, okay? It's just like, I just tell them scripture when they go to bed, sometimes, 4 or 5 nights, 3 or 4 nights a week. I tell them scripture when they go to bed. And just from hearing it, they just memorize it. When you're in the car and you're driving from here to there, just listen to the book of James or the book of Jonah or the book of Titus. Redeem the time while you're driving around in the car. There's so much time spent in the car. Use it to speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spirit. Pray and hear the word of God. I don't have time to talk about the importance of memorizing and how you do it, but you just heard how critical it was for you to be equipped with the word of God, the spoken word of God, because that's your weapon, that's your kid's weapon, and that's your grandkid's weapon. Amen?
Tom, thank you very much. What a blessing. It's great to hear somebody present the word that believes it, isn't it? It really is. I just recently listened to a sermon. I don't even know if you can call it a sermon. The Bible never got open. Never got open. I'm thankful that Tom's committed to the scripture as a church. We're committed to the scripture. You know, I just want to follow up on one thing that Tom said when he's talking about the breastplate. Maybe you have some huge pockets in your life. You know you're involved in some things you shouldn't be involved in, doing some things you shouldn't be doing. The Spirit of God has spoken to you today through a servant. And if there's sin that you need to repent of, if there's sin that you need to turn from, today's the day to begin that. We're here to help. If you need to see me, call, make an appointment. I'd be happy to meet with you. But don't continue in that sin another day. Turn from it. The power of the Spirit of God can help you to do that. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to take a love offering, Tom, and then we'll be dismissed. Lord, thank you for the power of your word today, the clarity of your word today. Help us as believers to put on the full armor of God that we may be able to stand in this day, and we do need to stand. So empower us to do that. May we be a blessing to Tom as we take this offering for him. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may overflow in hope. Amen.